2 Chronicles chapter 29, restoring the joy of the Lord. Let me just begin by just giving us a review of last week's sermon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, Hezekiah has been crowned king, and he's looking at the kingdom that he has inherited. He has inherited a kingdom that is in ruin, that has been ravaged by the enemy. The Bible tells us that his father before him was named King Ahaz. And Ahaz was a very godless king. He was a very wicked king. He closed the doors of the temple and did away with worship to the one true God. He totally disregarded the word of the Lord. He took the word of the Lord from the people of Israel. The Bible says that he began to commit great sins, and he began to lead the people into great sins, and they began to sacrifice their children into the fire. And the Bible says that King Ahaz had sons that he sacrificed in the fire. And so the Lord brought judgment upon his people. He allowed three nations to come against them. That's the nation of Aram and Edom and the Philistine. And they came in and they totally ravage the country. And this was the kingdom that Hezekiah inherited. It was a very ravaged kingdom. What he inherited was very difficult, very hard, to say the least. But there was something in Hezekiah's heart. Hezekiah desired to see the greatness of God one more time return to the kingdom of Israel. He remembered the kingdom of David, his great-great-great-grandfather's kingdom, and what a supernatural kingdom it was. And he desired for God's presence and God's greatness and God's blessings to come to his people again. And the Bible says that the very first thing that he did was he opened the doors of the temple, and he repaired those temple doors. That under King Ahaz, the temple had been neglected for many years, and so they was in need of repairing. So he set his heart to repair the temple. And beloved, that wasn't a very light thing, because Hezekiah understood that if God's people were going to come to God, and if God's people were going to have access to the presence of God, then they would have to come to God God's way. You see, in the Old Testament, God has only had one way for his people to have access to his presence, and that was through the blood sacrifices offered in the temple. There was no other way. God told his people, he instructed them, that if you're going to have access to my presence, then it will be through the sin offering and the burnt offerings, and that's how you have access to me. That's how you have access to my fellowship, to my blessings. And Hezekiah knew that. I'm sure Hezekiah remembered the words that the Lord put in Solomon's heart. Solomon had built the first temple, and after he had built that temple, he consecrated that temple to the Lord. He prayed a prayer to the Lord, setting it apart to the Lord. He offered sacrifices in that temple, and then the Lord came, and the Lord spoke to Solomon and said, I've heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place, talking about the temple, this place to be a house of sacrifice. In other words, the Lord was saying, this is going to be the place that you're going to come and offer your burnt offerings. And when you do that, I will be your God and you will be my people. You'll have access to my presence. You'll find forgiveness for your sins. You'll find fellowship with me. You'll find that I will be your provider. You'll find that I will be your protector. No enemy will triumph over you. I will be your provider, your protector, and you'll find that all the covenant blessings and promises are yours. So Hezekiah knows the importance of the temple. He knows the importance of listen, if we're going to have access to God, we've got to do this God's way. And so he repaired that temple, and again they begin to offer their sacrifices to the Lord. Now then last Sunday, we applied this to New Testament times. And we said in these New Testament times, again, God has only one way to access his presence. He has only one way to enter into that throne room of his presence and experience that abiding presence in our life. And that is, again, like Hezekiah's day, it has everything to do with a sacrifice. But in the New Testament age, it doesn't have anything to do with the sacrifices that we bring to God, but it has everything to do with the sacrifice He provided on the cross. That is the way we have acceptance with God and access to His presence. And beloved, we talked last night, we talked about how we only have acceptance with God through the blood alone. There's not anything that we can do to merit God's acceptance. It's only through the blood alone. It's only as the Lord sees the blood that He finds us acceptable in His sight. We talked about last week being a seeker of God, and if we're going to have fellowship with God, and if we're going to grow in our intimacy with God, then it does require a seeking life, and we'll never take away from that. If we're going to truly grow in our intimacy with God and relationship with God and grow in the knowledge of His ways, it does require a seeking life. But beloved, reading our Bibles does not merit our acceptance with God. When it comes to be accepted by Him, there's only one thing that He sees, and that is the blood of His Son Jesus. That is what makes us acceptable in His sight. And then we talked about last week, we looked at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and it says that we are accepted in the Beloved by the blood of Jesus. That, brothers and sisters, we are accepted in the Beloved, or in other words, we're accepted with God because of the blood and the blood alone. It's not anything that we have to merit. It's not by our performance. It's only by the blood of Christ. If the blood of Jesus is truly on our life, we are accepted by God. We're accepted by Him. And we looked at last Sunday morning, we actually looked at the word accepted, and it actually comes from a Greek word which means to be pleased with. That when God says you're accepted in the Beloved because of the blood, He's not just saying, okay, I've accepted you because of the blood, but He's saying, you know what, I'm very pleased with you. Because of the blood, you are very pleasing to my heart. You bring great pleasure to my heart because you are my son, you are my daughter upon the merit of the blood alone. We talked about last week how God is just so very pleased with His people. And, you know, being a father, I have a son, I have a daughter, and I want to tell you something. They bring great pleasure to my heart. And tonight, being the children of God, we need to understand that we bring great pleasure to the heart of God. Listen, if the blood is truly applied to our life, then God is very pleased with us. We said last Sunday, I truly believe every born-again Christian should be able to look at themselves in the mirror, point at themselves, smile, and say, God is so pleased with you. God brings such pleasure. He has such pleasure in you. And if we cannot do that, if we can't point to ourselves in a mirror and say, God has such pleasure in you, it's because we're basing our acceptance on something else other than the blood. We're basing our acceptance on our performance, or we're basing our acceptance on how much I struggled today or didn't struggle today. No, it's only by the blood alone. You know, so many people, they have this thing in their heart, well, it's because of the things I struggle with every day in my life that I can't look in a mirror and say God's pleased with me. I can't look in the mirror and say that. It's because I struggled with my lust today. You know, I had a real struggle with my lust today, so I'm just so uncomfortable in standing in front of that mirror and saying, God takes great pleasure in you. How can He take great pleasure in me when I struggle with these things every day? Well, let me tell you why He takes great pleasure in you and why He takes great pleasure in me. Because, beloved, all of us have things that we struggle with in our life. We all have our own personal struggles, but God's acceptance, His pleasure towards me isn't because I have a good day or a bad day with things I struggle with in my life. His pleasure is toward me because of the blood of His Son Jesus. And it's because of His pleasure, that when we have struggles, He says, come boldly to my throne, that you can find grace, you can find strength, you can find help in your time of need. It's because you're my child, it's because I have great pleasure in you, that I'm not against you, I'm for you, and I want to help you when you have struggles. So, beloved, no matter what kind of day I had today, oh, I had such a day struggle with my temper today. I had such a struggle with my impatience today and my frustration today. I had such a struggle with my pride today. I had such a struggle with my lust today. I'm telling you, you can still stand before that mirror, point at yourself in that mirror, and say, God finds pleasure in you because of the blood. And if we can't do that, then it's because we're still finding our acceptance in something else other than the blood. Beloved, it's because of the blood. God takes great pleasure in his people. So Hezekiah opened the temple, and they came to God God's way. Through the blood. Only by the blood. And that's where I want to take off. This is the last thing we talked about last Sunday morning. This is where I want to pick up. And I just want to share with you something from my heart. Something very simple. But I want us to see it. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 24. It says, and the priests killed them. They made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psaltery, with harps, according to the commandment of David and Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophet. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests and the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. So what I want us to see here is that while the blood sacrifices were being made, Hezekiah had the people to sing and rejoice and worship because the presence of God and the greatness of God was returning to the people. In other words, they're offering these sacrifices, and Hezekiah says, well, they're offering these sacrifices, let's sing, let's celebrate, let's rejoice in the Lord, let's do that, because we're coming to God God's way, and now his presence is coming to us, and we're going to see the greatness of God return to the kingdom again. So he tells the people to begin to sing and celebrate. And beloved, what I want us to understand, what I want us to see, is when they begin to offer those sacrifices in the temple, suddenly heaven opened. Heaven opened. And the joy of the Lord began to fill the hearts of the people. It was not a man-made joy. It was not a conjured-up joy. It was a joy that came from heaven. I know that because 29 verse 30 says they sang praises with gladness. 29:36 says all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about. This was a genuine joy. This wasn't just something they said, okay, let's sing songs and try to be joyful. No, no, as they were offering those sacrifices after so many years, God opened heaven and the joy of the Lord began to fill the hearts of the people again. And we talked about last week, I believe when the church finally comes back, when it finally comes back to simple faith, and I find my acceptance in the Lord by the blood and the blood alone, there will be a supernatural joy that begins to come to God's people again. When my faith and my trust is in my works or anything that I did, but there's just a faith in my heart that says, God, I just come to you by the blood. God, I know my acceptance is with you is only through the blood. Beloved, heaven is going to open again, and God's people are truly going to understand the joy of the Lord because their faith is in the right place. Faith is in the right place. A supernatural joy. Now here's what is on my heart. Look at chapter 30. So they're offering the sacrifices. God has opened heaven. The people in Jerusalem are experiencing the true joy of the Lord after many years without it. And look at verse 1, and then we're going to look at verse 5. It says, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Now look with me at verse 5. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba, which is at the bottom, even to Dan, which is at the very top, that they should come to, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such short as it was written. So here's what Hezekiah does. Hezekiah says, okay, Jerusalem has an open heaven. The temple has an open heaven. So now let's send messages throughout all Israel. And let's invite all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to partake in the Passover. Now the question is, why did he do that? Well, if you look at chapter 29, look at the last verse. And Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared the people for the thing was done suddenly. It says, and Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people. Here's why Hezekiah did that. Because when they started opening, they started offering those sacrifices in the temple. Suddenly heaven opened. We already said it. And the people were suddenly filled with the joy of the Lord. And in Hezekiah's heart, he was looking at his nation. He was seeing how ravaged it was. He was seeing how much in ruins it was. And in Hezekiah, his heart was this: I don't want anybody to be left out of this. Heaven is open over Jerusalem. Heaven is open over this temple. We are for the first time in years truly experiencing the joy of the Lord, and I don't want nobody left out of this thing. So he says, send letters, get the people into Jerusalem, let's offer those sacrifices, let the people that are outside the city, let them come in and begin to experience the joy of the Lord. We don't want to keep this to ourselves. We have a nation that's in ruins. We have a nation that's lived in gloom and sadness and loss for many years, and now the joy of the Lord is returned. Let's bring them in. That was his heart. That was his heart. Hezekiah desired all the people to experience the supernatural joy, the joy that only comes from heaven. So Hezekiah sent messengers out and he beckoned all the people to come to Jerusalem and participate in the Passover as one body. That's really what he did. He's saying, we're one body. We don't want no one to be left out. So let's get everyone to Jerusalem to offer this Passover. And I want you to look at the result. Everyone now comes to Jerusalem, to the temple. Look at, with me at verse 24, chapter 30, verse 24. Verse 24 says, for Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, listen to this, and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. Verse 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. Here's what I want to say. Hear me, catch this. Do you know what Hezekiah just did? He just brought an entire nation into the joy of the Lord. This one man, one vessel, who is given to the Lord, he just brought an entire nation into the joy of the Lord. What a miracle. What a miracle. One man who truly understood the power of the blood sacrifice. And beloved, I want to say it again. When we as a church get back to simply trusting in the blood, there's nothing else that merits my acceptance with God. Nothing else. It's through the blood alone. I am telling you, the church will truly understand what it is to have a revival of the joy of the Lord. God will open heaven, and you want to talk about people coming to church and worshiping with a fervency and praying with a fervency and loving Jesus with a fervency. You want to know why? Because they found the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Understand, when the church truly experiences joy, then two things are going to happen. Look with me at chapter 31, verse 1. It says, now when all this was finished, don't you love that word finished? Don't it just remind you of it is finished? The cross. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the images in pieces and cut down the groves. In other words, you know what they just did? They just tore down the idols that were in their hearts. That's what they did. And here's the thought that's in my heart. Simply this. Listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when the joy of the Lord is in your heart, it's not a task or a burden to put away things that need to be put away. It's not a religious chore, but it's a joy. I'm telling you, when the joy of the Lord truly fills God's people and fills God's church, I'm telling you, you're not going to have to beg people to come to an altar and repent and lay down sin and worldliness. There's going to be such a joy in their heart, and it's going to be out of that joy that they're going to find strength to put things away that need to put away that grieves the heart of God. I believe that with all my heart. People that are enslaved to besetting sin, they're finally going to find a joy to once and for all put it down. Put sin down. Because they found the secret of strength. The joy that comes with just putting your faith in the blood and the blood alone. Amen. One more thing's going to happen. Look with me at chapter 30, verse 1. It says, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of evangelism. Hezekiah is saying, listen, we found the joy of the Lord here. The other tribes of Israel need to hear about this. Send out the messengers to tell them. And I'm telling you, listen. When the joy of the Lord, the real joy of the Lord is in His house, you're not going to have to beg people to come to church. You want to know why? Because joy is attractive. It's attractive. People are going to want to come. They're going to want to come. Where did you find this joy? Where did you find this peace? Where did you find this strength? What's in the blood? People are going to come. You know, the more I think about it, the more I really believe God's house should be a house of joy. And the evidence of that joy is music and dancing. Not something we pretend in the pews. Well, we got to have a fast beat going and the presence of the Lord is here. Let's jump and shout. No. Something that's birthed in the heart. I really believe the reason why the prodigal, the younger brother, left the father's house is because the older brother's representation of the father. The older brother, all he knew was joyless labor. Working in my father's fields, working in my father's fields. The younger brother knew one day his father was going to die, and guess who was going to be over the house? Mr. Joyless Labor. I'm not staying in that house. So he left. And I believe that's why so many of our kids and teenagers grow up and they leave church because of the church's representation of the Father. Joyless labor. But you know what? When the younger son came home, what did he find in his father's house? Music and dancing. Beloved, I got news for you. If you have a problem with music and dancing in the church, well, Luke 15, the words are written in red. They're written in red. Jesus is saying, when my children finally get an understanding of the mercy and the forgiveness and that robe of righteousness which comes by not any of their performances but by the blood alone, they're going to get a real revelation of the Father's heart. And no one's going to have to stand behind the pulpit and try to cheerlead them. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Come on, get your hands out of the pocket. Come on, uncross your arm. No one's going to have to do that. Why? Because when our faith is in that blood and the blood alone, heaven will open. And there will be music and dancing in God's house. Because there's going to be such a living revelation in the heart. The power of the blood. My acceptance is found in the power of the blood. And I'm forgiven. And I'm righteous because of that blood. And I'm walking in heavenly authority because of that blood. And the call of God is upon my feet because of that blood. And there is music in my Father's house because I'm under that blood. Amen. Listen, you know why? You got to remember, this is Jesus telling the story. Jesus is telling the story. So he's talking about the cross. He's talking about grace. He's talking about all that. So in the story, you want to know why the prodigal can come home? To begin with, because of the blood. You want to know why the Father can throw that robe of righteousness upon him? Because of the blood. You want to know why he can put that ring of authority on his finger? Because of the blood. You know why he can shod his feet with sandals, the preparation piece? Because of the blood. Amen. Stand with me tonight.